Caroline Minuscule, written by Andrew Taylor and read by Simon Shepherd.
Chapter 1. Typical, William Dougal thought. How bloody inconvenient. He was standing just inside the door of his supervisor's room in the history department. 3 yards away, a corpulent, tweed-covered shape sprawled on the oatmeal carpet to the right of the desk. The eyes and the tongue protruded from its bloated face towards Dougal in the doorway.
No doubt about it, the life had been sucked out of Dr. Gumper. Its absence left a chilly vacuum in the overheated atmosphere. Dougal felt light-headed and detached. Don't panic. It must have been a heart attack, he told himself. Gumper had always been pink with comfortable living and irritation. The anglepoise lamp on the desk was switched on, spilling a puddle of light over the body. Did that mean that Gumper had died recently? Probably not. The lamp would have been on for hours, for the room was badly lit and the dull February day outside had been drab and overcast. Suddenly, Dougal caught sight of a detail he had missed before. The light was glinting on a filament of nylon which dangled from Gumper's neck to the left of his Adam's apple, down to the floor. Dougal's mind clouded with the monstrous necessity of believing what he was seeing. Not a heart attack. Murder. He grappled with the idea, but it refused to succumb. Why should Gumper be killed? A dogmatic lecturer in paleography, whose only distinction was a belief that the proper study of mankind was a medieval script called Caroline Minuscule. And why did he, Dougal, have to be the one to find the body? The nylon dug deep into the flesh of the neck. Dougal could trace the line of its passage. A garrote made the whole business so much stranger, he thought, as shivers shot through him. It suggested a degree of professionalism or premeditation on the part of the killer, which didn't tie in with the domestic crime of passion committed by a jealous wife, a disgruntled student, or a competitive colleague. A killer was the natural corollary to Gumper's corpse. He had forgotten that until now. Fear took over, and his mouth went dry, as if the moisture there had been scooped up by a powerful vacuum cleaner. The symptom was almost reassuring in the familiarity of what it portended. He kicked the door open. It was still ajar, as it had been when he came in, and stumbled across the linoleum of the passage to the lavatory opposite. He knelt like a supplicant before the bowl. He noticed gratefully that it was clean, closed his eyes, and lost his lunch. He pulled the chain and washed his hands, scalding them with the hot water in his nervousness. He dried them on the roller towel, feeling faintly surprised that routine should assert itself at such a time. Toilet training must go deep. The future stretched uninvitingly before him. What the hell was he going to do? Decision-making was not his forte, and he had a horror of situations which forced him to make them rapidly. He looked at the pale face in the mirror, and it stared back at him, blank with uncertainty. The police? He imagined how it would go, walking down to the departmental secretary's office, trying to explain what had happened, which would take time because at first she would be more interested in doing her nails, and then she would think he was trying to make a fool of her. The typist would gawp. They would ring the police and wait uncomfortably together before and after they came. There would be pots of tea, awkward silences, questions and statements, all of which would probably drag on into tomorrow. Dougal swerved away from this unpleasant scenario. With his hand on the doorknob of the lavatory, he considered the alternative, a discreet withdrawal, which would inconvenience no one, certainly not Gumper, and save him a ruined evening. It could hardly affect the police's investigations. Nobody had seen him slipping away, and Dr. Gumper's desk diary would support the innocent deception, for it contained no record of an appointment with Dougal today.